Hi, this is Todd Duncan. I want to welcome you to another Faculty Focus on behalf of Mortgage Success Source. We have a great opportunity to spend the next 20 minutes with David Kuiper. David started in mortgage banking in 1990, graduated from Hope College in 1988 with degrees in pre-med physiology and business administration. He also holds an MBA in finance from Grand Valley State University and is a certified mortgage planning specialist, the highest designation available today in the mortgage industry. David has consistently been rated one of the top mortgage loan officers in the country by Mortgage Originator Magazine. Listen to this. He's closed over 5,000 loans, totaling in excess of $850 million at this point in his career in a small Midwest market. I love it. In addition to managing a busy mortgage practice, David is nationally recognized as an author, a speaker, and a trainer for the mortgage industry. He writes regularly for Mortgage Originator Magazine and Bankrate.com. He's known as an expert on first impressions and building client intimacy. And he and his wife, Michelle, and get this, 5 children, 2 cats and a dog, live in Holland, Michigan, and Fort Myers, Florida. David, good to have you online.
Great to be here, Dad.
Happy that you're able to spend some time. 5 kids?
Talk about time blocking.
I love it. I love it. I'm impressed. You need not say anything else, and I'm just admiring your success there. I have 2, and it feels like 10 sometimes. But,
oh, you got it.
So anyway, what we're doing is we're making sure that all of the guys and gals that are in the business that are relying on Mortgage Success Source and certainly our companies, Loan Toolbox, you know, Mortgage Market Guide, the Duncan Group, and all of those followers, we're wanting to make sure everybody knows who our faculty members are, and certainly that's what we want to convey to them. And then as a listener, Faculty Focus is going to be coming at you on a regular basis, week on week. We're going to be just sharing and downloading ideas from our contributing faculty, and we have only one desire, and that's to make success easier for you as a community member of Mortgage Success Source. So, David, I look forward to 20 minutes or so with you, just kind of giving people a little bit of an insight as to who you are and what makes you tick, and then I know we have some other things coming down the pike, like a day in the life of David Kuiper, what's your day look like, and then certainly all the ideas that I know you want to share with our followers. We look forward to that. Let's talk about your core philosophy. You've been in the business for 19 years or so. What is your core success philosophy as it relates to being a mortgage professional and a top producer?
When thinking about that question, when you first posed it to me, really went through several different thought processes, but what it really comes down to is just taking great care of clients. And what that means to me is getting out of transaction mode and into the business of building relationships with our clients. So while our business tends to be a volume-focused business, you know, how many files can you get in, push out, how do you utilize and leverage technology and the team behind you so that you can do huge volume or units or files, but at the same time be making a meaningful difference and being different too and staying in touch with those clients over time.
Yeah.
And the number that I'm proudest of, more than any, you know, commission check or national recognition on a number of loans closed or whatever, is the fact that year in and year out, 85% plus of my business is repeat clients and the people they send to me. And that's just a big, to me, affirmation that we must have done something right for them.
Well, I think that this is one of the reasons why our community needs to listen to you, and certainly as I spend some time with David, as a listener, just hear and let what David is sharing resonate with you, because there's a point in time where everybody who starts in a business, you know, whether it's widgets or mortgages, has to realize that we can either go out and pursue new business or we can do a phenomenal job taking care of the business that we have and creating a, you know, I like to refer to it as a cash flow assembly line where we don't ever have to worry again about the loans coming in. I mean, it doesn't mean that every day is exactly the same as the day before, but if we build a business around a core philosophy that the transactions are actually a result of the relationships, and that on their own, just transactional focus doesn't guarantee cash flow stability, but relationship focus does guarantee cash flow stability. And so really listen to this, because I think as I look back to my career, David, and certainly you and I have known each other for a long time and we've worked together and you know a lot of my philosophies and what I teach, I still think there's a lion's share of loan originators in America today that haven't yet had the kind of aha relationship epiphany and still look at everything as a loan number and a transaction, albeit, you know, human beings involved. Talk about when, how, where did the epiphany happen to you? When did you start to realize that, you know what, I've got to move out of transactions and into relationships?
Yeah, and I think part of that just is a learn by doing thing. I think a lot of salespeople, especially top-producing salespeople, they're hunters. They like to get out. They like to make the kill. They like to get that next deal. And so it's very easy to just go out there and look for how do I get more deals in, how do I get more deals in. Mm-hmm. And I've fallen into that trap, certainly, as well. But I think I can't identify an epiphany moment, but I would describe it as realizing that it's much more expensive for me to be advertising and whining and dining builders and realtors and financial advisors trying to get new business all the time than it is just to really take care of the clients that I have. And so when, for example, as we're recording this, we're in kind of a little mini refi boom right now, I don't have to deal with the pain and aggravation of people rate shopping me today. Right. They know, love, and trust Dave, so of course they're calling him or responding to any outbound message that I may have sent to them of, hey, hook me up. I know you'll take good care of me. So very little money has to be spent on that hunting and gathering business. So I haven't done advertising in over 10 years.
Yeah.
I just refuse to do it, and that just seems so counterintuitive to what a lot of people are doing.
Well, even today, you know, what would be the 28th year that I've actually, you know, either A, been in the mortgage business doing mortgages, and or B, you know, run a company that is committed to helping teach success principles to that industry. We still have people today in seminars that are asking how they deal with a realtor who's asking for, you know, $500 for, you know, this ad or that. And I think that very important in a decision-making process for any salesperson is this idea that if you build mutually beneficial relationships, you don't have to go out and buy the business. You don't have to go out and advertise. And one of the things that's so critical about what you just said is that when somebody trusts you and you're relying on repeat business, you're never, ever going to be in the price game. And I want to say to everybody as you listen to David that there is a, you know, there's this idea of taking a look at single transaction thinking or what are called repeat buy cycles. And I think what, David, you've done is you've realized that, you know, there are repeat buying cycles. There are every single month repeat cycles with realtors who trust David Kiper. There are, you know, every year or two repeat buying cycles with borrowers who trust David Kiper. And certainly on a year-on-year basis, referrals from those borrowers that in almost probably every case they sell you so well that price isn't the issue that you have to deal with even in first-time transactions with new buyers who are becoming relational to you. Was there any hesitancy or was there any pushback that you ever got when you started thinking, you know what, more from few, you know, by being more to few makes sense? Did you have any gaps when you made the transition? How did you make the transition? Or did it just come naturally?
I would say most of it came naturally. I certainly had to, quote-unquote, fire some of my referral sources that were just, you know, energy vampires that they were a
great description.
but just, you know, troublesome borrowers. And when you don't quite trust the referral source, you know, that they're doing the right thing for the client each and every time, I had to get rid of some of those relationships. And one of my goals for the next 12 months has been I need to build on some of those external referral sources and have been out interviewing and just being really, really picky with the people that I'm going to choose to do business with and letting them know that up front and setting that expectation. When part of my interview package is I give them what I expect from them if they want to do business with me. And so it's kind of flip the table from the, hey, Mr. Realtor, can you please send me a deal, to, hey, Mr. Realtor, I'm checking you out to see if I'm going to accept deals from you.
Right, right. Well, and that's a paradigmatic shift for a lot of people because to this point, you know, particularly in tough markets, people feel a little needy. They feel a little bit, you know, like I've got to go out and, you know, kind of be the servant to or be on the end of some demand or this or that. And so when you as a sales professional made the decision to, you know, to be picky and to choose and to be so bold as to say, you know, if we do business together, this is what I expect from you. What advice do you have to somebody that might only have a year or two under their belt and they're thinking, my gosh, I can't do that. I mean, I can never say that because they've become so reliant on being, you know, the recipient and not the leader of a relationship.
I think that they're going to have to learn by trial and error and work as many relationships as they can so that they can discover for themselves what a good business, mutually beneficial business relationship looks like. And so, you know, in my early days, I was out there doing the broker opens on weekends, going to open houses, stopping in, doing the rate sheet thing, and just trying to meet as many people as I could. And over time, probably was in my own head thinking I was working with, you know, 40 or 50 real estate agents, but it was just very happenstance. Maybe if you were wearing the right suit on the right day and you happened to be in the right place at the right time and they were in a good mood, you might get a deal. But today I honestly can say I work with 3 real estate agents, and these are 15-plus year relationships, but I get every one of their transactions.
Yeah, well,
but I think just the exploratory piece of that is being out there and finding out what kind of relationships are out there and then deciding which ones to act on.
Right. And I think the idea here is that for anybody listening, you know, just be reminded that to right now say I have 3 15-year relationships is the outcome of a decision that was made, you know, years back to have relationships. And I think that, again, fundamentally, David's core philosophy is that it's going to be about relationships. And so if you as a listener do nothing other than say, okay, transactions are the byproduct of a relationship, not the other way around, then you're going to have more transactions, you're going to have more peace of mind, and your business will operate, I think, more consistently, because let's just face it, the more people you're trying to do business with, the harder the whole communication matrix becomes. And when you get down to 3 or 4 key relationships in one vertical, like realtors or, you know, a couple, you know, financial planners or whatnot, and they're deep relationships where you've connected with that person, then you're going to have a more efficient business. Let's talk about your business right now and shift to another question on this faculty focus kind of intro call. When I look at your business, or when somebody is introduced to you and they look at your business, what are the things that we would be most impressed by, or that you are most proud of that you've done, that could be teaching points for everybody listening right now?
Yeah, you bet. One of the things that I'm proudest of, and that I do, you know, some training and speaking and writing about, is what I call the power of first impressions. Just establishing yourself as being different, setting yourself up as the trustworthy professional, and that goes, you know, that runs the range of the words that you choose to use when you're describing what you do and how you do your business, to how your office is designed and laid out, and what the appearance is when someone first enters it, to the communication that you use, whether it's electronic or, you know, handwritten or mass-produced, is just setting yourself up both in the borrower's mind and as in the referral partner's mind, as this is a trustworthy professional who knows what's going on, and he's different.
Yeah.
So if we think of the consumer goods, you know, it's just how do you package yourself?
So let's park on that for just a sec. If you think back to, you know, in your own business, what were, you know, 2 or 3 things that you definitely know are worth telling everybody listening right now that were impression deal points for you? I mean, they literally, when you made the decision that this was a first impression I wanted to create, and you can just look at it now and say, that was a turning point in my business when I did that. What are 2 or 3 that come to mind?
Yeah. The first one that comes to mind is just, you know, how do you reel in the next deal? Okay, my business is going to be referred to me. Very likely they're going to send me an email or leave a voicemail for me. And so we're going to return that phone call or that email and affirm the referral relationship.
Yep.
you know, I understand you're working with Dave Gritter at Five Star Realty. We've worked with Dave, you know, we've got it all scripted out. We've worked with Dave for many years, both personally and professionally. We're an extension of his team. We're happy to hear that he's passed his trust and confidence along to you. We're looking forward to representing you for your financing. And just both affirming it and then confirming the details of what we talked about.
Yeah.
So when I hang up from talking to that client, I'm immediately going to send them that email, part of its, you know, canned scripted response to that referral relationship, and then we're going to recap the details of what we just talked about, confirm our planning time together, and let them know what documentation, what their next steps are going to look like. Immediately upon hanging up then, I'm going to handwrite a thank you note to the client for calling and a handwritten note to the referral source for passing along their trust and confidence in our team to the person that they cared about. So if someone is out in a shopping mode or just kind of feeling me out, within a day or two, they're going to have something in their mailbox from me, and immediately I'm going to appear organized, different, professional, caring, and so it's just going to cement that initial first impression. And I'm also going to either email or call, depending on who the referral source is, and let them know that I recognize their referral and let them know what the next steps with that borrower look like.
You mentioned at the front end of our call just the idea of the different technologies that are available to us today, and I just want to, you know, kind of suggest for everybody, although it may not fit for everybody, that I think one of the most powerful points of impression that you can even offer today in a tech-savvy world is the power of the handwritten note, and I think your ideology about that to the borrower and that to the referring source is a huge discipline that everybody would benefit by if they just took the time to have them, you know, pre-stamped and on their desk so that they're reminded that the power of the handwritten note today still resonates to me as one of the greatest efficiencies of all time and the greatest, you know, impression points of all time. And I'm sure you found that to be true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about another couple things that if we were on the outside looking in, we'd be most impressed about as we look at your business.
I think the other thing that people are really impressed with is how our offices are set up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do most of my face-to-face planning time with the client in my office. Even though they're repeat clients and I don't quote-unquote need to have them in the office, we live in a small community. You know, driving and parking aren't an issue for us, so I prefer to do it face-to-face. And I have my office laid out in what I describe as a personable yet professional layout. And so I've got my workspace divided up into my work area, which is, you know, my desk and the computer and some extra monitors showing Mortgage Market Guide live and just appears cool and techy, where I get most of my work done. And then we also have kind of a soft area where I've got a sofa and some chairs and bookshelves with lots of books, and I have read all of them because that's my thing. Big screen TV with the financial news playing, a assortment of financial periodicals. Just communicating and conveying without saying it, hey, you are in the office of a professional. I'm with it. I'm current. I know what's going on in all things financial. And so if I've worked with a client many times and I don't need to get their rank file and Social Security number and be entering data, we're probably just going to go hang out on the couch, put our feet up, you know, have a latte and talk like the friends that we are. So we very purposely made it a non-threatening environment where a non-English-speaking first-time home buyer can feel very comfortable, or somebody borrowing $1 million is going to feel very comfortable. So we're very strategic at how we have the office laid out and, you know, just kind of thinking of it as I'm on stage when I'm with a client and just analyzing what props you're using to communicate the message that you're trying to send.
Yeah. Well, I think that today, you know, in whatever centric world you're in, whether you're, you know, broker, correspondent, banker, working for a bank, what David has just laid out is probably one of the most important decisions you'll ever make, and it's, you know, it's the brand called You, and early in my career, you know, it's You, Inc., and I just finished a book called The Power of Cult Branding, and it's not about cult being a negative word, it's just about followership, and David, what you're alluding to is, and I love this because you brought it up several times, is that if salespeople could just get to the point where they realize that The goal is to offer enough valuable advice based on the decision to be professional and integrous, and to not only look like you know what you're talking about, but then back up what you're talking about. You become a friend with your clients. And I bet your 85% repeat and or referral number is a direct function of your decision to, you know, do these things we just talked about and to become a friend. Because let's face it, from now on, if you're a friend with your borrower and or a friend with your referral partner, and you operate from a friendship style, there is no pressure on price, so to speak. There is no pressure to cut your fees to get the deal. I mean, it's a relationship, and that word friend is so, so important for people to get.
And I think the third thing that people would be either impressed with or confused by is the length at which we go to get to know our clients.
Wow,
okay,
talk
so
about
we
that.
We go off the 1003, and you know, some people refer to it as page 5. Other
yeah.
people call it their concierge form or their client data form. But we get a lot of information that has nothing to do with the loan in process. And, you know, things from wedding anniversaries to the names and birthdays of their kids to what pets they have and where they grew up and what their hobbies are and what they like to read and just really getting to know them on a personal level. And, you know, we have a lot of fun with, you know, explaining to them. And I've actually made it a requirement. One of their required documents for their loan is that they return this form completed so that, and we track that religiously in our database, so that at any point we can pick up a conversation where we left it off, as well as where we can add value to a client at the point at which they care. So if I, you know, notice something and I know I can search my database and find out who, you know, if there's a new adult dodgeball team coming to town or whatever, I can search my database and find out who likes dodgeball.
Yeah.
And I can let them know. Instead of letting 4,000 people in my database know about this, that nobody really cares, maybe 6 people do. And they'll know Dave was looking out for them.
Yeah.
They remembered that they liked dodgeball.
Okay. Well, the idea of intimacy, you know, if constructed and then interpreted the right way, is exactly what we're talking about here. And I just would echo the thought for everybody that, you know, that lots of people give lip service to the idea of keeping your client for life, but when you think about and think along and think how David has kind of just led us through this, I hope it would be an inspiration to you to realize that at the core of all repeat business and referral business is connection. You know, and if you're not connecting with your clients, then it's a superficial transaction that has no guarantees of repeat or referral business. You are you're at the top of your game. You've got nearly 2 decades, you know, under your belt, being a mortgage professional, and you were in an interesting market right now. Why don't you share in closing on this kind of introduction call what your focus is, you know, for the next 12 months, 18 months in this business as you navigate the waters we're in right now?
Absolutely. Right now, I would say my focuses are in 2 areas, one of which is attracting a few more key referral partners. I know that, you know, 3 realtors probably isn't enough. I could be servicing more well. And so being out there and interviewing realtors is key to me, as well as builders. I've traditionally done a tremendous amount of construction business, which in West Michigan is ground to a screeching halt, and a lot of lenders have pulled away from it completely. And so just being out there and identifying the key builders who I know can send me 6 to 12 loans a year, communicating to them that, hey, we're committed to this construction thing. We're still here. Other people are dropping out. And if and when somebody does choose to build a house in today's economy, we want to be there for them. So that's a key one for me. I've always done a fair amount of financial advisor and CPA related business as well, and so I'd like to get 1 or 2 of each of those type individuals on my team. But the second thing that I'm really doing is becoming better at what I do and building my knowledge base. Mm. Because with regulations and products changing so fast and furious, just to be able and this is for me a huge undertaking, because having done it for so long, you think you know everything. And so I've really gone back and become a student of the guidelines and the MI company requirements and everything that's going on there with some of the product changes that are going on so that I can differentiate myself from my competition and I can know how to structure a deal a little bit differently with putting together some pre-funded mortgage insurance instead of monthly mortgage insurance on a conventional loan and saving the borrower $40 that some other loan officer doesn't know how to do. They could do it, but they don't know it.
Yeah.
So just being able to pick up the slack for the lenders that are dropping out of the market and then for those that are still hanging on and doing some business, just being a little bit better than they are and being able to communicate in a convincing manner and, with backup as to why it's better to work with Dave.
Yeah. Powerful thoughts. You know, if nothing else, the last year in this business has taught us that we need to be knowledgeable, ethical. We need to have good, solid morals behind our lending strategy and certainly solutions offered today. I think, you know, as we forecast into the future, entry into this business might be a little bit more difficult than it's been in years past, and there is certainly no room in the industry for anybody who doesn't know what they're talking about. And I think that we're finding that to come to full fruition today. And so your commitments to not only just systematically adding a few, you know, key partners, but then just stepping up the knowledge game. I think to quote using a buzzword that's in the economy today, stimulate your business. You have to learn at a faster and more thorough rate than your competitors learn at, especially in the financial area. Otherwise, you're going to be left in the dust. Hey, good good intro call, good stuff, lots of meat on the bones. I know we have another call that people can listen to called A Day in the Life with David Kuiper, and we go a lot deeper on a lot of things there. But thanks for this this intro, and thanks to you as listeners for continuing to persevere excellence in your business and to follow leaders like David Kuiper. I know that he and our MSS contributing faculty are committed to your success. We look forward to continuing to share ideas with you in the weeks and months and years to come. Take care and have a really successful day.